And this hour, we're going to talk the mortgage market and a lot of real estate with our mortgage expert from People's Credit Union, Diane Crosby. Welcome back to Innovate Newport.
Thank you, Bruce. It's great to be with you on this beautiful sunny day in Newport.
Right. Almost spring.
Almost. It's rather chilly out there today.
It is, because it's spring in Newport.
That's correct.
That's how it is around here.
The wind.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Well, there are some things in the wind that we ought to speak about, and you have some folks here that are going to speak about a lot of things that are very, very important.
Yes. Today we have with us Kathy Wicks and Emily Chappelle of Hogan Associates, Christie's International, right here in beautiful Aquidneck Island. They have are servicing the community and have done it very well. Kathy has a great anniversary this year. She's been in this industry for 25 years, so I'm looking forward to her sharing with all of us her perspective, what she has seen. Hopefully she has some fun anecdotal stories to share with us. And Emily and Kathy have been a team for how many years now have you two been in cahoots?
Maybe eight.
Eight years. Wow. And Emily is a native Aquidneck Island, hails from Portsmouth, so certainly knows the community and helps to make sure that buyers and sellers are treated with professionalism and great quality experiences right here in the room. It's very exciting to be here. So, Kathy, let's start with you. 25 years. Give us an overview of what you've experienced and the ups, the downs.
Oh, I could talk for a long time. I won't. I think back when I first started, I took my real estate class at Bellevue Realtors in January 1999, and I took my real estate exam in Warwick, I think it was like March 13th, so it truly is 25 years.
Wow, very nice.
And the goal for me was just to sell one house that year and not embarrass myself, of which I did sell one. And then I went on to sell, last count, it was like almost 555 houses in the last 25 years.
Wow, that's a milestone for sure.
So, and Emily and I work all over the state of Rhode Island. I grew up in Warwick. Emily is a native Portsmouth girl, and we cross the bridges all the time.
Yes, and that is becoming more challenging. I came over the bridges today and gave myself a little extra time and still was a little later than I had wanted to be. So, Kathy, one of the things that you specialize in is as a senior real estate specialist, and you also have that, Emily. So can you share with us? I'll start with, come back to you, Emily. What do you think your gift, if you will, to the community for seniors? Let's just talk about that aspect of what you do together.
We focus on service, not sales, and we like to work from the beginning of whether it's packing, donating, whatever we need to do to help somebody get to where they need to go to next. So we literally start from the beginning and bring it all the way to the end at the closing table, and we hold people's hands the entire way.
I'm glad that you said that, because Kathy and I have chatted and been in this industry together and know what's going on, and she has shared stories with me of some of the seniors who are emotionally attached. And maybe you could talk about that, Kathy. Is it's not about just the transaction. It really truly is preparing people for that next step in life, which is really scary.
Yes. I think one of the things that we, Emily and I, really try to emphasize is it takes a long time, for the most part, for seniors and their families to accept the next transition. So it may take 2 or 3 years sometimes to have an actual sale come up after the owner is in place in a new environment and comfortable with their new life.
Yes. So I remember that you said you even physically do the packing. Is that right, Emily? You actually
do.
You know, roll up your sleeves and actually pack boxes to help them. I think that's so important. It's really hard to get rid of stuff, as most of us humans know. Some of us are better at it than others. And you need someone else to say, to just kind of lift that emotional piece from you.
Well, right now I'm doing this for my own family. So I'm feeling it a little bit more than usual. But also the experience of it is helping me to put myself in the place of others.
Yes.
And it's hard to let go of some things. And for both Emily and I don't like to put things in the landfill or fill dumpsters. So the house that we're actually working on right now, we've yet to get a dumpster there. Everything's been donated.
Wow, that's great.
We've actually done a yard sale for the owner.
Wow, that's really above and beyond.
Recycled a lot of things. So the dumpster's just coming in at the end.
Wow, that's great. So we jumped right into being what you do and the quality of the service, and that's why I wanted to touch on the senior part of it, because I think that is really important, that you're not a team, you're not people who are just going to cookie cutter and go through like an assembly line, mm-hmm. which sadly I do see others do that, which is why I recommend to some of my sellers and people to you, because I know they're going to be treated as kindly and as comfortably as I would want my family to be treated. But let's step back for a little bit. And Bruce will tell us when it's time to take a little break.
I will.
And I want to...
We're just getting started.
I want to talk about what you are seeing. So 25 years, Kathy, mm-hmm. you've seen the ebb and flow, the ups and downs. And we know that real estate and life can be a roller coaster. So you have those high peaks and those low valleys. And can you talk just a little bit about that overview of what you've experienced in these years?
Well, I think the key is that we just have to keep moving forward with whatever reality is. So in the beginning, I'm getting used to what real estate is all about, practices.
Just, you wanted to sell only one house, so.
I know, I did that, but it's learning all the rules and regulations. I remember always telling my broker, I just want to know in anticipation of what's going to happen. And she was like, Kathy, you're never going to know. You will never
just
know
like life.
Until you get going. And I finally came to accept that probably like 5 years into this. And I finally became comfortable with it probably 15 years into it. And as long as I know people that I can ask, and I'm comfortable saying, I don't know the answer to that, but I can find out. It's all about being true to yourself and, you know, honoring what you're doing.
Yes.
So
okay,
you'll
great.
Never be able to know everything.
No, and it is truly just like life. Emily, how long have you been in the industry as a realtor?
11 years.
11 years. That's wonderful. And so I say it's wonderful. Have you enjoyed 95% of it or?
Yes. My joke with Kathy of us being the boomer and the millennial, which neither one of us like to admit, but we are, is if we were to make our own little name, we would call it Rabbit Hole Realty. Because we go down the rabbit hole hard. You know, Kathy says we always find the answer because not only does it help our client, but it helps us. And it helps us learn on top of, you know, what we already have to do to keep up our licenses. But it helps us for the next person that we meet and what
I like
we can
that.
Do to help them.
The boomer and the millennial. So yesterday I learned that there are two stages, two sections for boomers. It's now boomer one and boomer two. So for anyone who isn't aware of that, boomer two is what Kathy and I are. We are the younger of the boomers. And they have found that there's actually a difference between, and I'm just saying this for Kathy and I, between the two stages, if you will, that the boomer twos are a little more open-minded and a little more enlightened. So don't send emails, don't send text of hate to me, but...
well, there's a lot of people who won't even do that.
That's true. That's
I don't
true.
Do that so, computer thing.
I bring that up because I love that you are the boomer and the millennial. Millennial. Yes,
I have to keep asking Emily, what are we again?
I always have to look it up.
That's part of who I am. I'm like, Emily, can you help me with this? Emily, can you help me with my phone? Emily, can you help me with, I don't know how to do this.
There we go.
And she's...
Which is why it's really great to embrace who you are and find someone else, no matter what it is, to do the things that we can't do. And
it's great to be having this conversation on AM radio. Which will never die. We're like the cockroaches.
Bruce, I love that. I love that.
I don't know if I'm in the same room with them.
It's our mortgage expert, Diane Crosby from People's Credit Union, and our guest today talking about the real estate business and the real estate market, always a hot topic. We're back here at Innovate Newport, and we're talking mortgages, the mortgage market, the real estate market, with our People's Credit Union mortgage expert, Diane Crosby.
My guests today are Kathy Wicks and Emily Chappell of Hogan Associates, Christie's International, right here in beautiful Newport. And they are sharing their expertise with us of what's happening now, what they've experienced over the last year. So, Kathy and Emily, tell us what last year looked like for you as an overview. Did you find that what I was seeing is I'm doing the mortgage end, so I don't see as much of the hands-on, upfront, and personal aspect that you see of buyers and sellers? And what do you think? What happened last year?
Well, across Rhode Island, sales were down from 2023 compared to 2022. And, of course, in Newport County as well. In Newport County, we had 940 sales in 2023, and in 2022, it was 1,175. So that's a 20% change.
And what do you see now? Do you see that, of course, and Bruce and I talk about this a lot, is house prices have jumped so much. Certainly we know what happened in COVID. Rates were really low, but now the rates have kind of stabilized a bit, but the house prices are still high. Do you see them coming down at all? I get that question all the time. I'm going to wait to buy or refinance or sell or whatever until prices come down. What do you think?
I personally don't see prices coming down. I think they've stabilized. I think in the over a million market, certainly that's a hot market. So they may be rising a little bit.
So that's interesting. You said that's a hot market. That's but prices have gone up to that. So you're seeing a lot of buyers who are able to buy $1 million houses. Mm-hmm. So before you add your other thought, I have seen that even in that price point that people are paying cash. Do you see that?
Yes, and I think some of the reason may be that they've already sold a property prior to, and it's just time to get in now. Like, you can only wait so long.
To reinvest that money. Interesting point.
It might not be a financial point, but it's like a mental point too. You know, people want to get settled. So, and looking for property the past couple of years, it almost come to the point, well, if you can find something that you're happy with and you can live with, just go for it. It doesn't have to be a forever house. I try and tell that to all of my buyers that are really anxious to buy. It doesn't have to be your forever house.
So why do you say that? What do you mean, just go for it? Because why? Prices are continuing to rise?
Because
or?
You could be in limbo for years. We've already been in limbo for a couple of years. So especially first-time home buyers, I try and educate them and say, there's going to be special programs out there. The government's not going to just let this go. The financial institutions are going to develop programs for buyers to be able to afford houses to keep the economy going. So Rhode Island Housing did have their down payment assistance program just recently, and then that ran out rather quickly.
Yes,
but then they
did.
Just have another program now, and it's not the same. I think it was $17,000 for the first program.
Right.
I think maybe now is it like 15? It's a reduced rate, but they did come up with another
Yes, and a lot of lenders have different first-time home buyers. So since you touched on that, let's talk about that for a minute. People's Credit Union has a really good first-time home buyer product. No, it's not $17,000 of grant money, but it's a lower interest rate and less money down, and it's a conventional with mortgage insurance. So it's not the mortgage insurance isn't going to stay there forever. And when I've done the math for some of these other grant programs compared to ours, it really, in some instances, can work out better for the buyer because the rate is not going to be as high. So it's really good to put the math to those numbers, and I encourage people to really compare and contrast what's best. Emily, do you work a lot with first-time home buyers too?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? What are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot of people just get really disappointed because they've tried and tried and tried and they keep losing out. But once they do get it, they're so happy, and you know, you can always refinance. You know, that day will come. You know, you're building equity, and it's...
Yes. So, speaking of boomers and millennials, I see from my end, and I'd like to know if you're seeing this too, that boomers are gifting or buying houses for their millennial and younger children. Do you see that too?
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
It actually was interesting because they had gotten a mortgage, the house over appraised from the mortgage, and in the middle of the closing, the attorney said, why are you paying this fee when you could just gift this to them? You know, redid the whole thing. A couple hours later, it did end up closing, you know, 150 documents later, but it was a happy story in the end. But it's just, there's so many different things, and that's your area of expertise, not mine.
And that's what I do a lot.
But I love that there's people out there to help people.
Right. I like to structure that deal because that's I'm seeing that more and more, and people are becoming more creative amongst themselves. And going back to what Kathy said about the government stepping in, I don't think we can wait for the government to make decisions. So it is happening a lot I'll call it in the trenches, in the families, in the neighborhoods, where people are saying, okay, some boomers have a lot of money. That's been, you know, statistically, there's a lot of money out there sitting. And they're saying, okay, I'm going to gift it to my children now, or I'm going to buy the house if they're not in a position financially to buy it for credit score. I've seen that, or income, or whatever the case might be. And why, I'm not going to wait so you can inherit it when I'm dead. I'm going to gift it to you now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great solution. And I love that. People get together and figure kind of things out while the government is, you know, trudging along trying to get over themselves.
Well, I think the most important thing is to know who you're working with, your affiliates, and who you can go to find out what you need to find out to help buyers and sellers. Because the industry changes every other day. And Emily and I, we sell real estate. Like, we know how to structure a contract. We know how to do those things. But with the financing, I feel much more confident selling, you know, sending my buyers to people like you, Diane, that know how to work around the numbers.
Right, how to structure it and really help someone get started. So, Emily, you mentioned a closing, so I'm just going to put a little plug in for Eric Chappelle, who has been a wonderful, I mean, his wealth of knowledge is incredible as a title real estate attorney. And so that's a great thing that you get to add to your repertoire, because you know you're in the trenches with him in some ways to help. And it's a team effort. It's good to be able to reach out to a team. And that's what I've really prided myself on is, okay, my lane is mortgages and helping people figure out how much they can afford, et cetera, and helping with credit scores and getting them positioned. But then I like to have a team that I can rely on to say, okay, Kathy and Emily can help you with that. You know, they will go in and pack boxes for you. Just make sure you give them water and an apple now and then.
Yeah.
And then
protein drink is appreciated. Yeah.
And then we also have no real estate attorneys who've been doing this for a really long time mm-hmm. who can help guide you right. to know the property and so on.
One of the most important things that we can't stress enough is to all of our sellers to have their paperwork in order to be able to sell the house and to understand what their tax liability and or estate planning is going, how that's going to affect a sale. So these things have to be in place before a for sale sign can go up in the yard, or else you're financially, you may be leaving a lot of money on the table.
Which is why it's really important to have, not just go online and Zillow or Google search realtors. The listing agent has to be working on your behalf to understand that your home and the real estate, the underlying real estate, do their homework. I can remember listing agents going to the city and town halls and looking at the title. Because Kathy's right, you can't just stick a sign on the lawn and expect magic to happen. You have to do your homework.
And we still go to town hall.
Oh, I love titles.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Especially told you, rabbit hole realtor.
Septic designs and all kinds of good things you can find there.
That's a really interesting point. I had a disaster of a closing that never happened because the homework wasn't done on the septic system. So I'll just leave it there. But it's really on the listing agent's back, shoulders, whatever, to do their homework up front and not rush to make the sale.
Another important thing Emily and I both found is permits for work done on a home. That is key. So you can, you
know. What kind of permits, actually?
Well, if there's an addition that was put on.
Like a building permit?
Yes,
is that what you're talking
like
about?
Okay. You'd like to see an electric permit, plumbing, like all of the permits pulled and then signed off on. Because if they're not, that may come into question how the repair or new renovation was done. And it can be a little hard to backtrack out of that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And in Rhode Island, being a, you know, older community with summer houses and a location to lakes and ocean, I've seen people will put, oh, let me just make the basement into another apartment. And it was never done correctly. And they weren't, it wasn't illegal
sure.
two-family, and then they're trying to sell it as a two-family and so on and so on.
And that's becoming more and more of an issue now as we're getting into this issue and this phenomenon of short-term rentals, mm-hmm. where as kind of a backdoor to keeping some of the short-term rentals tamped down, some of these codes are really starting to get called into play, and inspector types are and town councils and things are playing, quote, by the book. So it becomes more and more. That having been said, it's the gig economy, and it came out of the last 4 years and such, and so you have some third-party people. We've had them on this program who will do home repairs, who will do work. Sometimes it's with a permit. Sometimes it doesn't. There's always, you know, you talk about being an older community and so forth. There's always that next door neighbor who says, nah, you don't need a permit for that.
That's right. And right. And you know, everybody wants everything to be done yesterday and or today.
Right. Well,
right.
Some but it's a safety don't need thing. A permit, but other things definitely do.
And it's a safety thing to me, you know, is it up to fire code?
Well, that's the whole thing. I was just going to say the key word
huge.
Is code. Building code,
right.
Fire code, that kind of thing.
Because who wants that? I mean, that would be awful.
And it's a liability issue as well.
Yes, that's the other thing.
That'll drive everybody running.
Yes. Do you have proper insurance when you do all of these things for improvements on your house?
There's a lot more regulations happening now, more so than ever, because the opportunities for people are out there, you know? So there's nothing wrong with someone being able to take care of themselves and maybe rent out some part of their house. But it needs to be done according to the rules and regulations of your town.
Right, that's exactly right.
Sometimes, and it's very, very important. And you need professionals, as Diane and I talk month after month after month. You need professionals to help you through.
Diane.
And from the mortgage and real estate right on through. And we've got a couple of great ones in the room here today at Innovate Newport. We're talking mortgages and the real estate market. Always lots to talk about with Diane Crosby from People's Credit Union.
And today we have special guests, Kathy Wicks and Emily Chappelle of Hogan Associates, Christie's International Real Estate. And they're sharing their expertise with us on all things wonderful about real estate. So during the break, Kathy, we were talking about, I'd like to chat because I think this is really important to our audience, that your number of years of experience and the changes and the evolution of the industry. So what words of wisdom can you share, and what things have you seen that are important for people to know where we are now and where we came from?
Well, a lot has happened in the last 25 years. It's hard to focus on a lot of it because I just keep moving forward.
I don't really
dwell on what yesterday was. I learn from whatever mistakes that I made, or could I have handled something a little bit differently.
But for our audience who maybe has not sold a house in 20, maybe even 30 years, they don't know what has changed. You know, you could just stick a sign on your front lawn and have an open house and people would come through, or you'd have a realtor. So tell us about those kinds of things that might be pertinent to someone who's now saying, okay, I need to change. Like, how do I start? What do I do?
Well, I think it's important to know how a house is priced. The price is always negotiable with the seller about what they would like to put their house on the market with, but Emily and I do all of our homework and show them the statistics of what we think the house should be sold for.
And you're looking at comparables, meaning
right,
recent sales. Right, recent
sales.
And then
sales. We do look at the competition to see where...
Competition as in current, also current listings.
Yes.
Okay,
however,
so recent sales and current listings.
The last few years, that's been a very low number.
Exactly.
And also what we do is we focus on all of the renovations or the features of a home.
Okay.
That could, in fact, verify that is a good price to ask for the house.
Okay.
And bear in mind that it has to appraise, which is all part of the financial package.
Absolutely.
But I think besides pricing the house, our forms have changed. The forms are constantly being reviewed by... the MLS and RIAR Forms Committee, and we have to update according to what's happening in the real estate market. The seller's disclosure when I started was 2 pages long. It's now 5 pages
six.
Or 6 pages. The only thing that hasn't changed too much is the lead disclosure, but that has to be done. Rentals is huge. The rental market has changed quite a bit. The regulations for rentals has changed. When I first started in 99, we used the MLS books instead of the computer to find out what was actually for sale. So I don't know if it must have been maybe weekly or monthly. We would get this huge, like, 2-inch MLS book, and it would have all the cities and towns in Rhode Island and what properties were for sale.
So it's like the old telephone books.
And
we don't have those anymore.
And the telephones were the size of your shoe. And then if I could have saved all the telephones that I've had over the years, that would be quite a collection. So those are just some very simple things. But I do remember one point, I can't remember the exact year. It was early on, maybe 5 years into it. They became the no-doc loan.
And oh,
I
yes,
myself,
I remember those.
This can't be a good thing.
Right, so that's on the mortgage end, not on selling the house. But yes, that caused one of our crises in banking way back then. And so you're right, and then all the regulations have changed. My industry, being in mortgages, lending, is fraught with all kinds of regulations that are constantly changing. And certainly technology has made that easier and hotter, but that's a topic for another discussion. So it's the whole industry is more complicated, and it goes right back to knowing your professionals in all aspects of the transaction.
There's one There was one thing that was of note. Back when we had the, we've always had the seller's disclosures where the seller fills out the information according to what they know about the house. And then they sign it. And then when a buyer puts in a bid, they initial and sign the disclosure as well with the knowledge of what they just read. And the price they're offering is based on that information, okay, amongst other things.
Okay.
So when the buyer has their due diligence period for the home inspection, when I first started, and there was a home inspection issue, they would request the seller to negotiate with that, and we would have to point out what the issue was.
Yes.
We don't have to do that anymore. I mean, that's probably, I don't know how long it's changed, maybe 5 or so, maybe longer than that. But now a buyer can just withdraw without even, just withdraw due to the home inspection. They don't even have to explain what the home inspection issue is.
So they don't have to give the seller a chance to rectify?
If they don't.
I see. Interesting.
So we need to know all of these forms and what each paragraph means. And we have to explain that to our sellers and buyers so that they understand what is actually happening.
So on a transaction, typically there's a listing agent, seller's agent, who is representing the best interest for the seller. And I remember back in the day, there were lots of transactions that was the only realtor. But over the last, I don't know how many years, less than a handful of transactions that I've seen where there's not a buyer's agent. So the buyer's agent represents the buyer's interest, mm-hmm, correct?
Yes.
And then, so there's usually, typically, 2 realtors on a transaction.
Right. Unless there is a buyer that contacts the listing agent, which is not uncommon nowadays with the internet or an open house. And then there are specific forms and representation for that type of a transaction.
So a buyer would have to sign saying, I understand I don't have my own representation, and the seller's agent will be not representing me.
Well, you have to treat everyone fair, mm-hmm, and honest and ethically. And there are disclosure forms that need to be signed. So everyone involved in the transaction knows who's representing who and how they're being represented.
Okay.
So early on, I think probably around 2000, 2001, I did take the accredited buyer class. So I got certified in that, and I've been practicing that ever since. One thing that Emily and I try and do is every few years we'll just learn another designation, take the classes, and get certified in something else. We also, as realtors, as licensed realtors, we have every 2 years we have to take continuing education classes. So now they're up to 24 credits, and I think we need to have 9 core credits: ethics and
fair housing.
There's a lot that we have to do to maintain our professional standards.
Yes, I love that. I think that's great. Was that always the case back when?
Did you always have to do some kind of continuing ed? Oh, good. But it's much more.
There's a lot more to it now. And certainly the ethics is.
The ethics we have to do every renewal period now. It used to be every 4 years. Now it's every 2 since I've started.
So your renewal period is 2 years,
mm-hmm,
correct?
Which is now. And we're all scrambling to get.
And is it staggered though with the realtors though? Is it the timing staggered? I thought they had started to do that.
For new realtors, it is. And I don't know what the cutoff time was, but Kathy and I are both April 30th.
I remember every even year. I see. Okay.
Which I thought last year was my year, so I was taking all the classes to get done by last April, so I'm way ahead of the game now. So
that's good. That's great.
Yeah, so I need Emily to keep me in shape. And it's great to work as a team, because we can bounce ideas off of each other constantly and say, what do you think about this? Do you think that I should be doing this? How do you want to handle this? And I really appreciate Emily's point of view, because she sees things a lot different than I do sometimes. I mean, I was raising two teenage girls and two young boys when I started doing real estate. And I had a lot going on besides focusing on this 24 hours a day, which I did. So,
well, I think there's a lot to be said for experience and years in the industry.
Absolutely. We've got 2 minutes left, so let's put out some calls to action here. How do we find out more? Get in touch with Kathy and Emily.
Emily, how do we call you?
My cell phone is always on.
What's the number?
401-862-3803.
How about your email?
Emily, E-M-I-L-Y, at HoganRI.com.
Great. And how about you, Kathy?
My cell phone's 401-225-8555. That's the only number I've ever had. It's never going to change.
And Kathy loves voicemails.
And what's your email?
My email is kathywicks2002@gmail.com. And that's C-A-T-H-Y-W-I-C-K-S 2002@gmail.
So that's interesting you said that, Emily. Kathy likes voicemail. Because I do hear messages from realtors. Don't leave me a message. Send me a text. So.
Oh, I like text too. But
I love text.
I like both. I do too.
It depends on what the context is.
Exactly.
Well, we're always driving. You know, you lose service going over the bridge. So a voicemail is great.
Although now we sit in traffic quite a bit. So.
There you go. We have lots of time. Lots of time. And Diane, how do we reach you at People's Credit Union?
My phone number. It's also a cell phone. And you can text. 401-835-8202, and my email is dcrosby@peoplescu.com.
Always great to talk the mortgage business, the real estate market. Great to have Kathy and Emily with us this time around. And Diane Crosby, we thank you so much, our mortgage expert from People's Credit Union.
Thank you, Bruce. Great to see you.
It was fun.
Here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540.